Question this morning, how many of you have ever gone on a diet? Better question, how many of you haven't, right? Well, this morning I want to talk to you about diet, but not in terms of restricting what we eat, but in terms of what we choose to consume and what we choose not to consume and how this affects us. I'll begin with sharing something that happened to me. And maybe it's happened to you, but this is something that happened to me. So, like I said, we just got back from a week's vacation at the beach last week. And as I was thinking about this week's sermon, I remembered something that happened to me years ago on that same beach. Each year, we go on vacation to the beach with my wife's family. And family is great, right? Family is lovely, right? But family can also be too much at times, can't it? So our family, our five, along with Jody's parents and then her brother and his family of five, we all share a beach house together. 12 people, kind of crowded, right? And that's fun for a while. Anyhow, on one of those days years ago, I didn't sleep well the night before. And we got up to get ready to go down to the beach, you know. And there are kids, they're laughing, they're screaming, they're crying. And we're putting sandwiches together to pack. And some of us had our lunch packed and others just didn't do it yet. So we had to wait. And then, you know, we decided, okay, we're ready to go. But then someone's like, well, wait, I have to go do this first. Or I have to check this email first. And we wait. And then all the things are together, and someone's like, well, where's my chair? Well, it's out back. Go get it. Well, mine's in the car. Go get it. And where are the beach toys? Okay, all this kind of stuff. And so we wait. And we finally get down to the beach an hour after we were ready to go. And we get set up, and everything's going well. Everyone's happy. And then the sand starts flying, and someone gets sand in their eyes. And you know, they're fighting over boogie boards and sand shovels and say, well, let's just eat. Well, I don't want that. Oh, there's sand in the peanut butter. I got to go to the bathroom. Then discussion starts coming around. Well, what do we want to do tonight for eating? And no one wants to say anything. And so I finally, you make a suggestion and someone's like, I don't want to do that. Can anyone relate? Can anyone relate? That morning and afternoon, for many reasons, were very aggravating for me. And I was angry, I was irritable, and I was just a downright bear at that point. And when it came time to go back to the beach house, I said, everyone, just go. Everyone just leave. I'll pack everything up and I'll bring it all up. You just go. And they did. And that was good. That's what I wanted. And I just sat there alone. And I stared at the ocean, and I listened to the waves crashing in, and I felt the refreshing breeze alone. But I wasn't really alone, for I was accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was calming me. The Holy Spirit was soothing me, and the Holy Spirit was convicting me. And as I sat there, I started to feel guilty and ashamed for my lack of patience. I should enjoy spending time with my family because I love all of them, right? And so what if some things are aggravating? Just be happy you have a family to be aggravated with, right? And as the peace of Christ set in on me, I just kind of zoned out, staring at the magnificence of God's creation. And the Spirit brought to mind the scriptures that I was going to be preaching on that week. And the first one that came to mind was Ephesians 5:20. Always and for everything, give thanks to God. Always and for everything, give thanks to God. And that moved to Philippians 4:9. And the peace of God will be with you, is what I'm hearing in my head. And then I was drawn into the theme of Proverbs 9, where God's wisdom is seen as calling us to come and eat of her bread and drink of her wine, which led me to Jesus's, you know, John's gospel, and Jesus saying, drink, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. In essence, All these are saying, consume me, not all these other things. Whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, whatever is pure, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is righteous. Think on these things. Consume these things. Leave all that other stuff alone. As I sat there those many years ago meditating on those passages, and thinking of the day's events, I realized that I had been focusing on the wrong things. I realized I had been eating and drinking the wrong stuff all day. I was eating of the bread of irritation and drinking of the wine of frustration and doing it to excess. I was drunk on these things. And these things were doing absolutely nothing good for me or the rest of my family. And as the Holy Spirit convicted me, and through the Word, I stopped, and there alone, surrounded by the roar of the ocean, I gave thanks to God for each and every person in my family. And I gave thanks to God for the kids, and I gave thanks to God for the noise and the trouble, and for, you know, just this opportunity here to sit, to be alone, and to see those blessings, and the opportunity to feed myself on a more wholesome diet. By the time I packed everything and got up and got back to the beach house, I was fit to live with again. Jesus said in John 6, "Truly I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life and remains in me and I in them." Now that sounds very Eucharistic, doesn't it? Sounds like something we hear during communion. But to fully understand what Jesus is talking about right here, his point, we have to push those ideas aside. This passage has very little to do with Holy Communion. Jesus did not say this in a communion setting. He didn't say it, you know, in the upper room or even at a meal. This is being said at the middle of his ministry in the synagogue to the religious leaders in Capernaum. Jesus is saying in the midst of a conversation, he's talking about faith. He's talking about eternal life. In verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And in verse 40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who loves the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." But these religious leaders, these teachers of the law who should know this, didn't understand what he was talking about. So he uses this metaphor of himself, and it's the idea of taking him in, eating and drinking him, consuming his ways, consuming his teachings, consuming his love, consuming his righteousness. And his flesh and his blood are just metaphors for all this stuff that is Jesus. Although later Jesus would use similar language for in the upper room, right now it has nothing to do with communion. Because if it did, by eating of the bread and drinking of the cup, then we could gain salvation just from that. But we don't. What Jesus is speaking of here is what we do on a daily basis. What is it that we feed on every day? What is our diet like? When we get up in the morning, what breakfast are we taking in? When we're driving to work, what snack are we taking in? When we come home at night, what are we feeding ourselves on? Which table do we sit down to the most, the table of wisdom or the table of foolishness? Way too often it seems that people, and this includes me, we sit down and feed on food that creates anxiety and fear and intolerance. We watch commercials and we mentally take notes and then we compare ourselves to our neighbors. And we're consuming envy. We watch the news and we hear all the negative things and the terrible things, and we begin to consume despair and hopelessness. We see the fall of religious leaders from their pedestals, and we start consuming cynicism, not only of those people, but of the church and life in general. Friends, we are what we eat, amen? And if we only eat of the bread of cynicism or only drink of the wine of intolerance, We will become cynical. We will become intolerant, for we are what we eat. You know, a little junk food doesn't hurt anyone, really. And most of us, we can safely handle a candy bar or a bag of chips or a pop. But if we don't balance those things with the fruits and the vegetables and the dairy, well, then our health will begin to suffer. And the same is true of our spiritual health. Throughout Scripture, Jesus is compared to food, to bread, and to drink, because in Him is life, life now and life eternal. When we do receive communion in a little while, the body and blood of Jesus aren't the physical bread and juice that we touch and taste, but they're reminders of that physical person who laid down His life for us. And they remind us of what Jesus did. And in them, we find spiritual sustenance through our faith. God's desires and ours work together to create this chemistry, this power that strengthens us. Just as our bodies and natural food work together to physically sustain us, our faith and God's desires work together to sustain us physically and or spiritually. And in that, we find life. Remember, what we eat can either be good or it can be bad. It can be helpful or it can be destructive. When I went on vacation those many years ago, I was really looking forward to it. But that day, I was consuming unhealthy things. But while I watched the ocean and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, the Spirit also fed me. Alone on that beach, I was given a snack from the Lord's table. And so I encourage you, snack like that. Snack from the Lord's table on the goodness and the kindness and the love and the, you know, just all those good things. But you know, nothing really beats a well-prepared meal, does it? Think of Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, and we look forward to those meals because they're really put together. And there's all kinds of goodness there. And it's at the table of the Lord, and not this one, but the one that we daily come to. The one that we sit down at daily. It's that one that we gather to worship and to celebrate together. There at the table of the Lord is where nutrition, the food that we need the most, the spiritual food, is gathered together each day. It is there that God's Word and God's Spirit and God's people come together to inspire and strengthen one another for the days ahead. And I'm saying this because we as people, we can't snack. We can't just snack alone in our little cubby holes or wherever. But we need to come together and dine together, feast together. We need to be with real people. That's what the pandemic has done. It's pushed us off into our homes. And we're still not fully back in full worship because some, and you know, if you need to, that's great. We stay home, we watch it on TV, but that can't compensate for real people. We need real people to look in their face and see the face of God. We need real people to dance with and to sing with. We need real people to cry with and to lean on. Real people to love with. For we were not created to be alone. And so I encourage you, come together. Come together. Friends, we can do whatever we want. We have this free will. But unless we choose to consume Christ and His wisdom and in love, we will not be healthy, nor will we be happy. Christ's wisdom has built its house, and she has mixed her wine and set her table and has invited us, saying, come and eat my bread and drink of my wine. Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of true understanding of the Holy Spirit. And whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, consume those things. Consume those things. Let us feast on Christ in that way. Consume His lifestyle, His love. Let us believe and live. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, we thank you for giving us the things that we need to be sustained. But so often, Lord, we get stuck and get our heads in that trough of negativity, that trough of bitterness, that trough of just things that aren't good, and we can't see out of it. We can't see the sun. We can't see the good things all around us. So we pray that your Spirit will strengthen us. We pray that you will help us to see the good things in life and let us think on those things. Let us consume those things, because in doing so, we become more like you, which is our goal all along, to become like you. So Lord, help us in that and give us the strength to walk each day in goodness with positive thinking, that we may share the love of God with those around us. Amen.